I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Okay, real quick, I have to tell everybody I'm doing my third diet bet. So check it out. You sign up for the diet bet. You bet on yourself.
Oh, I remember this.
I know, yeah. Yes. You bet on yourself to lose weight. So you've got 4 weeks, and if you lose 4% of your body weight, then you split the pot with all the other winners.
Yes.
And it's $30 to join the game. The last time we had the pot, over $250,000. Biggest pot ever.
Wow.
Yeah. And so along the way, you're going to be getting all this cool stuff from me, tips, tricks, diet motivation. You'll get prizes. So one lucky winner is going to get a $250 gift card to my new clothing line, Impact with Kmart. And we're going to give autographed DVDs and books and subscriptions to JillianMichaels.com and all this cool stuff. You want to go to dietbet.com/Jillian. My name, J-I-L-L-I-A-N. It starts October 7th. It's $30. You send a photo of yourself on the scale to the Diet Bet referees before and after. It's all private. You do not have to share your weight publicly if you do not want to. And it's just a ton of fun.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
You don't really have anything to lose, though. You can cut your hair.
That's
I'll do it.
Here's a few pounds right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had an opener?
Well,
I want to eat.
Okay.
Lunchtime.
All right. Well, I don't.
That just pisses off the haters when I chew into the mic, so I do it for them once in a while. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, we had. Please stop eating.
I know. I can't help it, though.
No, it hurt. We eat. We have to eat. We only have a certain amount of time, and we got to eat.
Yeah. Go on.
Okay, well, here. This
I'm
is.
Sorry, that's obnoxious.
Go on.
I'll move the mic away. You talk. Do an opener.
I'll try.
Make it interesting. Try to be funny, though.
No. Okay.
Because I'm bored when it's not funny.
I know. It's demystifying. Oh, God. You know, why do I try to make a mess? Okay. We had to get the drain tiles done at the house because we had the big flood. You know about the flood.
How is the house still not sold?
Because the drain tiles.
Right,
it's it's thousands and thousands of dollars to do it. Like we're talking thousands of dollars.
What's a drain tile?
Well, in where I live, we have basements. There's no basements in California, right?
There's basements. No.
So the foundations.
There's attics where dogs can crap, but there's no
basements. That's right. The secret door to the attic.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. Dog pooping.
The houses are the foundations are low, right? They're like 6-7 feet down.
Okay.
The foundation of the house. So when a drain tile, the older days, a drain tile is made of clay. They were like, you know, like almost look like terracotta, but they're like these terracotta pieces of tube.
Okay.
And in time, and that's when the rain, when there's too much rain, it goes through.
This is enthralling.
Yeah, it goes through the terracotta.
No one's switching this segment off.
You said you wanted to eat.
Terracotta tube.
It's a terracotta tube.
It's a tube.
It takes the water out.
Made of terracotta, like 7 feet. Thousands of dollars, this tube.
No, those.
Woo!
Stop. Just
pearls.
Anyway, in time, in a home, these will crush because there's clay, right? They'll crush and then there's nowhere for the water to go and the water comes into your basement.
Got it.
So you have to replace it. So anyway, it just seems so daunting to me and I just didn't understand, well, how does that work? And so these guys come in with their big backhoes and they dig the trench around the house and you go, God, a house is really quite simple. Like,
okay.
You're like, it takes away the, if I could put it into a bigger thing, when you take the, oh, it's so big, I'm not going to understand it.
Oh, the mystery out of
it. The mystery, that's the word, the mystery.
No problem.
Something, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, it's, this is the foundation. You put the tile in, you put this new pipe in. This is really not interesting at all, but the...
No,
it's
no.
Just, yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to...
Wait, no, is there... Oh, okay. So they put the tile in.
I'm just saying that when you take the mystery out of something, it's not so powerful anymore. It's not so scary anymore. It's like when you understand how something works. I know we can't understand how everything works.
Why are you scared of the terracotta drainage tile?
I don't know.
You're fascinating.
I don't know. Not that I was scared of the actual terracotta. I was just, I was afraid of how the house worked. Like... It made no sense to me. And when they've taken out, because they had to rip out the basement, now I see, oh, there's what it looks like where the wires are.
What do you do when you go to people's houses? Do you have terracotta tile? Because if so, I can't make it.
I gotta go.
It's like McManus kryptonite.
Oh, my God!
No! Did you see the terracotta? I can smell it from 100 yards away. She starts to get weak.
I'm just saying that you take them. And so the, and then the other part of this is, while they've been digging, is I've been trying to save my mother's garden.
Oh, so I around. Know what this is like. During construction, I've tried to save my two palm trees.
See, and you're running around trying to save it, and you can't stay ahead of it. And it's like, if I let this die.
So where did you end up on this? Is there like a lesson?
No. You told me to talk about my terracotta clay.
No, I said, do you have an opener? I thought you had something.
No, this is it.
Hold on. Let's go back to the... Let's try to break this down for you. Okay. I'll have to stop eating for a second. Okay. I like the one you take the mystery out of something. That's something we can use. I can turn this into something. Just a second. It's like a cow segment. It's terrible, but I'll save it. Don't worry. So.
Yeah, like... Okay.
Well, wait. Check this
you
out.
You talk now.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
I just screwed it all up.
No. It's just sort of like a tangled ball of yarn. I'll fix it. Kind of like your thought process. So... I was watching this astronaut do a TED Talk, and he was talking about overcoming fear and why we need to overcome fear. And there was one part of it that I thought was so obvious. And he's talking about being blind outside the space shuttle and something went wrong and a spacewalk and all this stuff. And then he kind of pokes fun at the audience and he's like, what's your most dangerous fear? Because it's like, of course it can't compare, right? And he's like, let me guess, spiders. And he starts going through how many, there's like, 27,000 species of spiders. I don't remember the numbers, by the way, but something crazy. And he's like, and of that amount of species, like 1% are poisonous. And of the ones that are poisonous, like they don't make webs in the air. Like a black widow, for example, makes them in corners on the ground, their webs. He goes, you're never, ever going to walk into a spider web. I'm a venomous spider.
I didn't know that. I walk into spider webs all the time. And I'm always like,
freaking out, right? Yeah. So he's like... He goes, if we stop and we really think about what this is, he's like, it's silk, nothing else. He's like, a little insect that cannot harm you should it land on you. He's like, they're not going to walk into the web of a poisonous spider. He's like, will not happen. And he goes, so we get all this craziness in our head of like, oh my God, spider! And he's like, but if you disseminate what's actually dangerous and what's just irrational fear, it allows you to sort of move through it. So when you break it down and go, okay, it's just a spider web. It's not toxic. It's not going to hurt me. And it's just silk. That's it. That's all that it is. And he goes, and by the way, it might creep you out anyway. Walk through that spider web 100 times, and I guarantee you'll never think anything of it again.
Right. Gotcha.
And it kind of talks about how you move through it by training yourself. So educating yourself, taking the mystery out of it. So you can separate, like, what you actually need to be concerned with, what's actually dangerous or what could actually go wrong, and what's an irrational fear. And then you can sort of set those fears aside and push yourself through the things that make you uncomfortable, knowing that you can't actually get hurt. And then, of course, the more you do, the easier it becomes. So there's one, huh? There's something for you. Now, what's the problem with the flower?
What about the flower? Oh, trying to save the flowers.
Okay, that's a new one. Go on. There's another lesson
because
there. I can do something with this, I think.
Well, okay. Why? What?
Don't switch us off just yet, people. I'm going to save the day here. Just a second. You are going to be completely blown away with how I enlighten you out of Janice's dysfunction. Okay, go on. So there's flowers and terracotta tiles that are really scary.
No, if I can't, it's like I look at the flowers in the garden as the last part of my mom.
Okay, I get
right?
it.
Right? So if I can't, like, it's like, I know that she's everywhere, you know, she's everywhere. I understand that, but if I can't save, like, the rose, and I was out there, oh my God, sweating, trying to get this rose saved with these 13-foot roots, you know, and I'm trying to save the rose and wrap it, and, you know what I mean? Because if the rose dies...
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's just silly. It's just
not bizarre. It's symbolic to you. But I do think there's something to be said for... It's kind of like... It really goes back to that old theme of life is going to pound you until you learn the lesson. And that really is like the last bastion of your lesson here of like, Janice, it's a bigger... It's more than... The rose garden, the house, the stuff that you held on to honor your parents. And it's kind of like, stop torturing yourself. We're going to take it all away. The house is going to flood. The stuff is going to get ruined in the flood. And the only thing that's still standing is the rose garden outside. And now this is going to ruin the rose garden. Yeah. And it's kind of like, until you really grasp the concept that it's enough, you're enough, that your parents don't reside in these things and you don't have to live to... build tribute and honor monuments of your parents, then you'll really be free. And I think almost the best thing that could happen to you is if the rose garden actually died so you could be free, which is what your mother would want for you to begin with. And then every time you look at a rose, you can think of your mom. And that's what matters, is where is she really? In your heart, in your head, not in that bush, dude.
Well, I've spent a lot of money on transplant food, I'll tell you that right now. Save that rose. I'm going to give it my best shot.
Okay. Naturebox.com. Every month you get a box of delicious snacks that are healthy, totally clean, and you know what that means? It means no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, and so on. Smart snacks that are nutritionist approved and, of course, most importantly, Jillian approved. Every month you get a new box with all new cool stuff in it for you to try. And if you like it, of course, you can ask for it every month. You can go out and buy more of it. But it's a really great way to expose yourself to new options. And it takes all the thinking and the stress out of it because it's done for you. Snacking gets a bad rap. It's not about snacking, but what about what you snack on? That's what you need to be thinking about. If you've got better for you snacks on hand, you're less likely to go to the drive-thru, hit the crap vending machine, pick up the handful of candy off your coworker's desk. Not to mention, you're not going to find this kind of snack in a vending machine. My new favorite are the pistachio power clusters. Delicious. Start your naturebox.com membership today, and they're going to get you a free sample box with their most loved snacks. Just go to naturebox.com/Jillian to get started. And that's naturebox.com/Jillian. What are you waiting for? We Weebly.com. I love that name. Weebly.com. And here's what these guys do. They help you build a website for your business, your portfolio, a blog, a personal website. It's awesome. It's not intimidating. You don't need any technical skills. It's so simple to be creative and build a high-quality site. Honestly, you could do an online store. No matter what you've been thinking about in the back of your mind, or, oh, I thought about a little business, check it out. It's so simple. Just go to Weebly.com, Weebly.com, and here's the deal. You can showcase your portfolio. You can start a business. You can start selling online. Do what millions have already done. That's Weebly.com, and you can start right now for free. All right, I got a snappy one for you. Get ready, news.
Snap fest.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's actually about eating and running. So.
Oh, we've had so many questions about that.
Now, here's the thing. Mind you, there is a difference whether you're on a weight loss regimen or not. Mm. So, if you're running to lose weight and you have weight to lose, I am not going to want you to carb load. No. Mm. The whole goal here is to be, it's not to go on an empty stomach either, but the goal is to absolutely burn through stored fat. You don't need to load up on excess energy to accelerate your race time. You know, you don't, right. Again, not an empty stomach, so you have enough blood sugar so you don't crash and you don't cannibalize your own muscle, but we don't want a carb load, okay? So if you are running as an exercise to lose weight, stay on the diet that you're on. Don't amend anything. Now, let's presume that you're an athlete. And you're running a 5K, a 10K, a marathon, a half marathon. That's a very different animal. And you will absolutely need to do some, quote, carb loading before, during, and after the run in order to not damage the body and, yes, to improve performance. So think of it as follows. Let's go through it. There are different race distances. If you're doing something like a 5K or even a 10K, basically if you're running an hour or under.
Okay.
What you want to do 1 hour to 2 hours before you train, not the night before, 1 hour to 2 hours before you go for the run, you want to consume 1/5. So take your body weight, right? Let's say if you were a 150-pound person,
okay,
you would take 1/5, divide by 5, and you get 30.
30,
that's
yes.
How many grams of carbs you'll have. Now, carbs are 4 calories a gram. Mm,
Jesus, okay.
Hang on. Follow me. Here. Where's my phone? Manis, how much do you weigh?
I weigh 138. Well, let's say 140.
140. All right, so we would take 140. We take your body weight, yeah, and we divide it by 5, okay? So I whipped out my smote phone. Okay, so we take 140, we divide by 5. So divide your body weight by 5, and you get the amount of grams of carbs you should eat. So you should be eating 28 grams of carbs 1 to 2 hours before you run. Now, if you're like, well, I don't know how many grams of, or, you know, what does that look like, or I'm confused, the label will tell you. But if you still can't figure it out, if you're eating a piece of fruit or what have you, you can look up how many calories are in that piece of fruit. And it should be easily digested, like a banana, oranges, oatmeal, not, oh, I ate a huge thing of beans and rice. I ate a stem of broccoli. That's not easily digested. And you don't want a ton of protein or a ton of fat in your stomach because it's hard to digest. It can cause cramps. You don't want to eat too soon before the run because all the blood is going to your stomach to help you digest the food, hence the 1 to 2 hours. So now 28 grams of carbs is what you, Janice, should eat 1 to 2 hours before.
Yeah.
And you multiply that by 4 if you want to know the calorie breakdown. So it's 112 calories worth of carbs, which, by the way, is not that much. So people who go,
that's a banana.
Right, you got it. That's the point. Now, if you're running, it changes. Ready? If you're going to be running over an hour,
oh God,
it's 1 gram of carbohydrates for every pound of body weight. So you're 138?
138.
Okay, so that's 138 grams of carbs. It's a lot. Totally different.
So two banana.
No.
Three banana.
No.
Four.
Times 4. That's about 500 calories. That's a meal of carbs. So this is for distance
for an
running.
Hour run.
Over. No, no, no. Like
over
think
an hour.
Two. Think.
Oh, God.
Think of a half marathon or 10K. A 10K you could probably do in an hour. That's 6 miles, I think. Think a half marathon. So for anything over that 1 hour mark where you're getting into distance, like right. a half marathon, a marathon, if you're training for a marathon, you've got the 14 mile run, you've got the third, whatever, the seven.
You gotta have the fuel.
Gotta have it. That's when you wanna really carb load. Okay. But when you think carb loading, like a banana is what you would have for anything under roughly, maybe a banana, a cup of oatmeal or give or take, but it's not that many calories. Now, one more thing. When you're doing those distance runs, this is where you can supplement blood sugar while you're running. This is when, if it's anything over an hour, that's when you can do like the energy chews or the slices of fruit to help keep your blood sugar going so you don't, quote, bunk, which is dangerous. It's when you run out of blood sugar and your body starts to literally cannibalize itself. It starts to break down its own muscle tissue.
Is that when you run and you're drunk?
No.
Remember in the Olympics? Remember that Olympics when the girl ran? Oh, I've never forgotten that.
No.
I don't know what year it was. And she came running in. All of a sudden, she conked. And she was like trying to find the finish line. Like, remember that?
No.
Anyway, what was that?
Was that like 1960, Janice?
I believe it was 1948, just after the war when we were coming home.
Remember that? It was
no!
No, Jake, do you remember it?
70s.
No, you nerd. No.
Well, anyway, it was very meaningful. Well, then what would have happened to her then? Why did she just drop out like that? Why did her brain leave her...
Electrical failure.
Yeah.
Electrical. See, thank God Giancarlo just walked in time.
That's a literal term, electrical failure.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, but you're not on the mic.
You got to get on the mic. Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So the other night I ran 4 miles in 39 minutes, right?
Okay, yeah.
I wasn't running hard. You can tell kind of by just a nice,
miles,
you know.
39 minutes, yeah, like a 10 mile.
Whatever, I don't really believe these calorie numbers that the apps give you.
They depend on many different factors, but go on.
But my energy level after the run, and I didn't eat, you know, I ate 2 hours prior.
Mm-hmm.
After the run, I had more energy than I did before I started.
Because your biochemistry. And because you did 4 minutes and 4 miles in 39 minutes?
Yeah.
Right, because you didn't completely deplete and exhaust yourself.
Got it.
So if you did a 10-minute mile, that's actually slow for you.
Yeah.
So for you, it was like a nice leisurely jog.
Correct.
Your circulation was going. You didn't completely deplete your blood sugar stores. You weren't bashing the crap out of yourself, working to a point of complete and total exhaustion. So your biochemistry was, your endorphins were going, your circulation was good, and you weren't completely fatigued from a very intense training session.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, it was a nice invigorating job.
Yeah, it actually helps me get rid of my stress that the other day.
Oh,
so I can sleep well.
Stress. Who has stress in this job? Which reminds me, two more things. Make sure to track your food. So, for example, see how you're doing on certain foods. So say, okay, this day I had an oatmeal and an egg white before I ran and I felt like this. Oh, you know what? This day I had toast with almond butter and I felt like that. And it's really going to start to show you what your body performs better on. Make sure to hydrate or you're going to get stitches and cramps. So make sure that you get you replenish your electrolytes on those distance runs with coconut water. Don't drink those crappy sports drinks. They're all chemicals. Have coconut water.
I'm sorry. It tastes like cack.
Not what?
What?
Oops.
I think that was C-A-C-K.
Caca. Caca. It tastes caca.
Oh, God. I can't.
Oh, dear.
Like a macaque?
It tastes like...
Yeah. It doesn't taste good.
She would
you and
know
the coconut water.
That tastes like anyway.
Okay, I've sipped some. Yeah, I wouldn't. Oh, I wouldn't know the other stuff. Well... You know, back in my early 20s.
Why does it always go there? It's manis. Why do you even need to ask that question?
Back in my early 20s.
Why does it
20s,
always go there?
There was, I don't know. I don't really remember. But apparently something happened.
And it tasted like coconut water. Thank you, Janice. Awesome.
Oh.
I can't ever.
Wait a minute. Now, what was that?
Did you know she sabotages my greatness? Did you know that? This is evidence
no,
right there.
No, that's right. I sabotage your greatness. That's right. I forgot about
She's
that.
She's such an a-hole. You know what I mean? We really need more fitness segments, more snappy fitness segments. So I'm in here doing this boring segment on running and carbs.
Mm.
And this bitch talks about sucking you know what.
I just can't. The coconut
thinking.
Water tastes What I'm
like,
trying to
Janice, bleep that again, please.
No, it tastes awful. It's just, it's all like, it's just the worst thing. I don't know why you are an advocate for something that tastes that awful.
Because it doesn't taste awful, and it's good for you. It's the best recovery drink you can have. It's low in calories, and it's loaded with electrolytes.
No,
oh, I can't. Won't. Just, I can't. Just stop it. Just, Jake, just stop it. It's a Reverie Bed Spot, Manis. All right, check it out. If you're not getting great restorative sleep, you are not maximizing the benefits of nutrition and exercise. Treat yourself right and get the awesome bed you deserve. I've been sleeping on my new customized bed, and I've noticed that I wake up feeling significantly more well-rested. It's truly amazing what this bed can do. Check it out. Go to www.sleeplikejillian.com. Reverie offers a 101-night no-risk guarantee because they believe the best place to try a new mattress isn't in the store, but it's in your own bedroom for a long period of time. And guess what? If you don't love it, you already know what I'm going to tell you. They're going to come, they're going to pick it up, and they're going to give you 100% of your money back. There's no return shipping fees, no restocking fees, no catch here. So you know what? Give it a try. Just go to www.sleeplikejillian.com to order your brand new bed. And again, www.sleeplikejillian. And for a limited time, the first 100 people that call 888-888-5990 and say that they heard about the Reverie Bed on my show, you're going to get a free set of 618 thread count sheets if you purchase a sleep system that's a $300 value, all for free. Birchbox.com, BIRCHBOX.COM. And it's literally the coolest way to shop for beauty products. Every month, I'm sure you know how this works by now, you're going to receive a box of 5 new beauty samples that are tailored to the profile you filled out. So if you're going, well, what about my skin tone? What about this? What about that? You fill it all out, and then they tailor the products they send directly to you. You get to try new products from niche brands, up-and-coming lines, everything in between. It's all risk-free. You can discover all new products that are just right for you. And then, if you like them, you can purchase the full-size version of your favorites in the Birchbox's full online shop. The subscription is $10 a month. It ships every month for free. There's no obligation. You can cancel at any time. By the way, these are big-name brands. Benefit, Smashbox, Beauty Protector, and much more. Just use the promo code Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, and get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription. That's $10 to spend towards your favorite new products.
We are so lucky
she's
to
busy.
Get her because she's a very, very
busy
woman.
Man.
Dr. Katya Van Hurley is on with us today, and we're thrilled to have her back.
Hey, Dr. V, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm just fine. How are you doing? How's everything going?
I'm good, Mom. I'm good, and I know you're crazed, and I'm so grateful for you for being on today. And I saw something and read a bunch of stuff about iodine and bromine that I'm going to throw at you. And to be honest, I'm pretty good at disseminating this stuff, and I honestly can't figure it out. So I was reading all this stuff about cancer and this and that. And, you know, when you, as I talked about on the podcast, coached me through the nodules on my thyroid when I thought I had cancer for a month or however long, and it turned out to be fine. Of course, I went on a mission to try to understand, like, why are these things on my thyroid? And I started reading about iodine deficiency and it being linked to thyroid cancer, breast cancer. And I was like, okay, is this true? Is it not true? And then I started to read stuff about iodine supplementation being a gift from God. Then I read that it was dangerous. Then I read to supplement inorganic iodine. Then I read supplement organic iodine. Then I read that they put bromine in all of our food and it's blocking our iodine receptors. And honestly, I don't know which way is up or down. And is this overrated? Is there truth to this? What do we do?
You know, it's such a great question, and you are super smart when it comes to this stuff, Jill. I really like that you're bringing it up because in my practice I get these questions, you know, weekly, daily. So the key thing around the thyroid gland, which we know is like a little piece of bow tie pasta, and it sits in our neck, just sort of above, next to our clavicles, and it's a small gland, but it does very powerful big things. Two critical hormones, and these are the primary hormones that the thyroid makes, are thyroxine, T4,
right,
and triiodothyronine, or T3.
Okay.
So some folks may know these by some of the trade names, for instance, T4, like Synthroid, Levoxyl, nice, things like that. Some people will know T3 under names like Cytomel and so forth, and I'm not promoting any one name or another, but some folks don't understand T4, T3. It just means that we have two major hormones. And the reason we like to stick with the T4 and T3 is it's very simple, more simple to understand, especially when you talk about iodine. So how the thyroid cells can make these powerful hormones is by our dietary iodine intake and linking for T4, 4 iodine molecules, and for T3, 3 iodine molecules. So point number one is that iodine has to be in our diet. We cannot make iodine. We have to eat it. We have to drink it or eat it. And T4 is made by linking up the 4 molecules of iodine, and T3 by linking up 3 molecules. So iodine is an essential element that has to come in through diet. And it's really critical. Without it, and that comes to our point number two, what we've seen in areas, and even actually until around the 1920s in the U.S., Canada, areas like Great Lakes in the U.S. and northwestern United States, Canada, and then Europe, Middle East, what we saw is that there were these goiter areas. In fact, in the Canada and Great Lakes area, they called it the goiter belt.
Janice, this is you.
I know.
Janice has a goiter.
Oh, really?
And she's Canadian. Aha! But this is your problem.
No, but I'm from the West Coast, so I missed the goiter belt.
Oh, you missed the goiter belt. All right, never mind. Sorry, Dr.
Well,
B, go on.
So the importance about this goiter belt and this understanding before the 1920s was that there was no iodine replacement. It wasn't put back into things like salt and in cereals and foods. And that was done through, in part, you know, FDA and regulatory elements, because when we didn't have enough of the iodine, then we couldn't make the T4 and the T3, the main thyroid hormones. And what's key about that is you build, unfortunately, this large thyroid gland that starts growing in your neck. Now, goiters, which just means the enlargement of the thyroid gland, is almost and has been worldwide eradicated, although there's still about 40% of the countries in the world that don't supplement with iodine, for instance, in iodized salt or in their cereals or flours. But the key is that in the United States and Canada, we've been really lucky since the 1920s that we're not seeing those big goiters. And what's even important about those goiters, if you will, goiters doesn't mean nodules. Nodules are like little lumps and bumps.
That's what I have.
And that's what you were talking about, Jill.
Okay.
And those are different. You don't have to you can have a normal-sized gland, not a goiter, but actually have little lumps and bumps in there. And that's treated differently. You just have to find out if they're totally benign, cancerous, or non-cancerous. But I think the key thing around the iodized salt, and that's the main way we see it, especially in North America, is that it saved a lot of people from having goiters in large glands and also from having hypothyroidism or low thyroid, because that's the other thing that went along with it, right?
Okay, but then, Dr. V, here's my question, because one of the, you know, everyone's saying, oh, low sodium, low sodium, low sodium.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going, well, okay, switch to sea salt, this and that, and the Himalayan salt, but that salt's not iodized, right? So
right.
Do we literally want the table salt?
So here we go, and that's the big dilemma, and it's exactly a great question. And unless you know, and all these great salts, the pink salts, the Himalayan salts, all these great salts, unless you know that they have already had a supplement of iodine, which many of them, like you say, have not, now we're back to goiter belt in 1920s
right.
With low thyroid and enlarged thyroids. The poor thyroid is trying to figure out how in its mechanism it can actually make thyroid hormones. So it starts like flexing its muscle and getting bigger, but it's actually not productive.
Wow.
So we have to be careful. And it's another reason that I think when we talk about let's stay healthy, I still think there's an element of moderation, right? Because
right.
if you have low iodine intake, and it can be measured through a urine test. If you have that, then you are subject to actually getting hypothyroidism and an enlarged thyroid gland. And those goiters, by the way, the biggest problem with those goiters, and way back in the day of my training, which seems so long ago now, you'd still get these rare patients where they have what looks like a cantaloupe on their neck, these
wow.
big goiters, and they start strangulating
oh my gosh.
The trachea, and they start actually, that's one of the
Look
big dangers. Yeah, so goiters, you know, we like to make sure that A, that the iodine content in the diet is correct.
Wow.
Also then, we do like to look at the thyroid function to make sure that we're able to make T4 and T3. Now you can have a goiter, which we sometimes see, a slightly enlarged thyroid without iodine deficiency.
Oh.
But really, iodine deficiency is one of the tops on the list. If we're not talking about nodules, got to be careful. You still see it. I have patients that will come from overseas, from the Middle East, that aren't in areas, right? This 40% of people that still don't have supplemented iodine, and they have low thyroid and they have goiters. And those goiters can actually physically strangle them in the long run. They're very, very dangerous when they get that big. And again, luckily, North America, we've been able to get rid of that with the salt, but the iodized salt. You know, it's interesting because it actually, we can move to a couple other elements on it because, again, these are such critical points. When are we really careful about having enough iodine and not too much iodine?
Well, that's, well, okay, so then I was going to ask
yeah.
you, that was my next question
right.
was, all right, because when I started reading signs of being deficient, I was like, oh my God, I'm deficient. And it was like low energy, you know, you're kind of scattered,
right.
you're a little bit foggy. And I was going through it, and I was like, I must be iodine deficient. And then, so then I started reading about supplementation, and I wanted to ask you, should you supplement? What's a safe way to supplement?
Yeah, really great question again, and same questions that we, you know, even in the world of endocrinology, there's some confusion, not so much confusion, but there's different styles. The recommendations that we follow in our medical world and our medical system has to do with at least getting, let's say, a multivitamin that has about 150
okay.
micrograms per day as a supplement. And those supplements, keyword is it's an addition supplement to what you're already eating, which we assume is going to have iodized salt or iodized flour, et cetera.
Okay.
But about 150 micrograms per day, if you look at your vitamin bottle, is good. But a couple of things that are important is that there are certain times you don't want to take possibly too much iodine. And you could say, well, when are those times?
Right. That was my,
yeah,
that's exactly
right?
what I'm going to say.
We're on the same page as we often are, Jillian. But the times you don't want to take too much iodine are when you've had any kind of preparation. Let's say you had a thyroid cancer.
Okay.
The thyroid gland was removed, and that's curative for upwards of 97% of patients if they take one capsule, one-time dose in a hospital setting of radioactive iodine. Now, to prepare a patient for that capsule that they take, we generally recommend somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks that you don't have iodized salt. You don't have shellfish. You don't have pastas and flour. You don't actually take kelp or seaweed. You don't take those things. And the reason you don't is because what you want to do is ensure that one-time dose of the iodine molecule in that capsule, or in some people it's an elixir in the hospital, that iodine can go to those last little cells that are hanging around in the neck
okay.
and blast them and kill them. So you want your little remaining thyroid cells to be hungry for iodine.
Got
so
it.
You actually force a 2 to 4 week period, and we put people on a low or no iodine diet.
That's incredible.
That's one.
A incredible.
Second time
okay.
that we have to be careful about giving too much iodine, and it goes both ways, because you need iodine during pregnancy, so
right.
this applies to women,
right.
but not too much, not to overwhelm the thyroid. It actually gets us to another really important point. And I think that this is where you and I have talked a little bit about this before, Jillian, and that is should people, other than, let's say, that 150 micrograms in a multivitamin, should they be taking kelp, you know, the tablets?
Yeah,
or should,
right. And then there's so much different information out there. And I was like, all right, this is crazy.
I know.
And if you make the wrong move, and then I started to think, all right, you know what? This is getting into, like, treating yourself like you're a doctor.
Right.
This is where you got to talk to a doctor.
Right.
Because you can do real harm here with this stuff.
So here's where we then go to the two schools of thought, but it's pretty much all the endocrinologists and thyroidologists in the country and across the globe feel the following. Number one, the key word is moderation. So
okay.
if you're eating a diet in an area like a region like North America where you know there's iodine, and let's say you look at your multivitamin or even your prenatal vitamin, you see, okay, it has about that 100 to 150 micrograms a day.
You're good.
You probably don't want to take more.
Why
is that? If you take more, here's the kicker, no free lunch on iodine. If you overload your body with iodine, the machinery, we call it the machinery in the thyroid that makes the T4 and T3, the main hormones, it's overwhelmed. It's like all of a sudden you've dumped all these building blocks, iodine molecules, on the thyroid machinery, and it's like, what? And it actually starts getting one of two things, either suppressed and blocked, and it actually says, uh-oh, this is too much iodine. I actually can't even keep up with it, so I'm going to slow down my T4 and T3 production. Or it will give a huge response, and it can put people into hyperthyroidism. All of a sudden, the gland says, okay, I'm going to keep up with all this load, all this kelp you've given me, all these things you're giving me, and I'm going to start making so much T4 and T3 that you're actually hyperthyroid, which can cause you to have rapid heart rates and go into abnormal heart rhythms like atrial fibrillation. You have tremors. You have weight loss. You feel like you get sweats. It's kind of like being on speed when you have too much thyroid hormone. And what we see, it's really interesting. There's a couple of times we see that. And I think it's important for your listeners to know this, that a massive load of iodine is given when they get a CAT scan. When they get that intravenous dye on a CAT scan, not a CAT scan with no contrast, but when they talk about that contrast dye that they inject in your vein, that is iodine. That's heavily iodine rich. And so if you have an iodine allergy, which some people have, you should never get that. But also, when you get that big IV push of iodine contrast to take a look at your imaging and whatever they're looking at, we've seen people go into hyperthyroidism who never had a thyroid problem.
Wow.
And they present with, like, Graves' disease, which is the name, as defined by Dr. Graves, of high thyroid elements. So hyperthyroidism can be brought on by big thyroid iodine loads. So in pregnancy, again, I'm going to go back to, we want to be careful that you don't overwhelm the thyroid hormone status of the mom, that circulating thyroid, because guess what? Baby's thyroid development, and it's really critical in the developing fetus and embryo to have normal iodine, not too much, too low. That can be affected by the mom taking too much iodine or not having enough, quite frankly, right?
Wow. Okay. You know what I take away from this in most part, other than the information that you've just given, is I think that for some reason, nowadays people have access to the internet. And
yeah.
You hear something and you go on the internet and you start diagnosing yourself,
right.
And you start self-treating. And I've noticed this especially with supplements. We think that, like, oh, supplements, they're just, oh, you know, they're vitamins. But
yeah.
You can do real damage when you start playing these kinds of games, man. And
well,
it's like you got to get information. You got to go and see a doctor before you do this stuff.
You do. And that's the what you just said is you hit the nail on the head. Remember, anything we put in our mouths that we drink or that we put inside ourselves or we smoke, all those things, including something as simple as iodine, like seaweed, kelp, actually, our body is so smart, and it will use what it needs. If there's not enough, it can't do what it needs to. If there's too much, it's not going to be pretty for some people, because it is. These are all to be looked at, in my opinion, as metabolic supplements. They change your metabolism. Let's think about it, the big picture philosophy. what really are we trying to do with a supplement? We're trying to change something in some kind of metabolic pattern in our body, sometimes changing hormones like iodine and thyroid hormones, sometimes trying to have more energy like people taking all these other weight loss agents and so forth.
Yep.
We're always trying to change something in our metabolism.
True, and, man.
Right?
So true.
But we have to respect, if you're not a physician, if you're not treated, you know, if you're not a nurse, if you're not somebody treated in nutrition or exercise physiology like you are, you know, you can get into a whole hill of trouble.
Yeah.
So
okay.
what's the final thing? Well, do you avoid kelp? No. Do you overload on it? Do you take, you know, a bunch of all these kelp tablets or additional iodine tablets? I'd say no. Quite frankly, no. Unless you live in one of the areas that your doctor has actually measured your urine iodine excretion and that they see, yeah, you're actually in the deficiency range. Okay. Then you need to take more, and that'll be prescribed by your physician.
Right, because you prescribed my vitamin D. You looked at, right, I got it. Okay.
And vitamin D is another one, by the way, that it's a hormone. Vitamin D is a hormone, actually. It binds receptors. It has a huge, we think, anti-inflammatory effect. You know, iodine goes to the thyroid cells. The thyroid cell uses it to make those major hormones. So iodine, we have great respect for. Okay. Definitely you need to supplement if you're in a low iodine area, a goiter belt area. But don't overdo it, because exactly what you're saying, Jill, we got to respect iodine. And we can talk about bromine, because we really have to respect bromine.
Here's what, I'm sorry, I know you have to go. So I was going to hold off on asking you this, but then I heard this. So I was listening to a dietitian talk, and they were suggesting that bromine is cheaper, so we're starting to pull iodine out of the foods and put bromine into the foods, but that bromine can block our iodine receptors. And then I was like, oh my God, I don't know where to begin. So is that, like, I don't get the relationship between bromine and iodine.
So here's the thing. They're in the same elemental category. And the key about bromine is, because it looks like a cousin or sister of iodine, the unfortunate thing is that it can actually fake out that iodine thyroid building hormone mechanism.
Okay.
So if you take bromine, and this is why it's been actually subject to people was saying, you know, be careful, because what it may do is, if bromine is in there more than iodine, meaning in that thyroid machinery, then the thyroid will say, oh, okay, well, I have bromine. But, you know, it's kind of like putting a cog in the wheel. You can't make T4 and T3 with bromine, but yet the thyroid sort of can't get on with its function and its building of T4 and T3. So people can get actually potentially low thyroid, hypothyroidism. Now, the data on all of this is, I don't want to say soft, but it's not fully vetted out,
okay,
except that the one thing is that bromine may inhibit the uptake of iodine and use of iodine by the thyroid, which then leads to hypothyroidism and this goiter. It also can stop you from actually hanging on to iodine in your body. So you basically start excreting your iodine more than you should, again, leading to the low iodine, leading to goiter, hypothyroidism. Now, bromine is put into flours and sort of these soft drinks with fruit flavors, and it's in a bunch of funny things.
It's a pesticide, too, I believe.
Yeah, I was just going to say gasoline pesticides.
Oh,
it's a funny kind of reddish-smelling thing. It's not so easy to take. So most folks, unless they really want to do it, don't take the bromine. One of the areas that I have patients that want to take bromine has to do with kind of a similar thinking around iodine and even calcium absorption, that they think will help further with beefing up bone density. But, you know, it's really not even a first or 10th line agent, in my opinion. Be careful with bromine.
Okay.
You know, potassium bromate, maybe this is the last point because it's a really critical point, just to the respect we talked about, Jillian, with all these supplements. Potassium bromate is a category 2B, 2B like boy.
Okay.
That's a carcinogen that has shown in lab animals to actually cause cancer. And we have to be careful, because we don't translate those studies. You know, they're not paid for studies, unfortunately, in humans. So, okay, if a rat or a mouse you know, let's say, gets a cancer because they've been bromine overloaded and they get hypothyroidism and all this, there's a lot of scientists or clinicians, doctors, that will say, okay, well, that's not in humans. Well, I pay attention to the category 2B elements. And so bromine, you know, folks, I know it's a nice idea. It is cheaper. I'd probably stay away from it.
Okay. And if you, you know, I was trying to look at, like, ways I could stay away from it. And, again, it's a pesticide. So right. I hate to say eat organic, but would that help? I mean, you immediately eliminate it there if you do that, yes?
Yes. And it's a really good thing to do, quite frankly. You know, it's going to be hard because it is, you know.
It's in everything, it seems like.
It's in everything.
Medications, soft drinks, plastics. Yeah.
Plastic,
baked goods. I was like, oh my God.
Upholstery, mattresses.
Yes. Like, I was having a Howard Hughes moment again where I was just like, we can't go anywhere.
But you know, look, the key thing, and again, I think it's the great point to maybe end on, is we get bromine through enough resources that are indirect. I'm not sure I would add anything in supplementation. Whereas iodine, we do want to make sure that you're getting your daily amount, and especially if you live in a low iodine country, which is a foreign country from the U.S. North America.
Okay. Dr. V, thank you so, so much. And if I know you're crazed, but if people want want to come to your practice, if you have time, how would they reach you?
I think the best one is if they just, my last name, Van Herle, VanHerle, the number 3, at AOL.com.
Thank you so, so much, Dr. V. You're amazing as always. Have a wonderful day, and we look forward to having you on the next time.
Yes, please. Thank you, guys, and thank you for the great topic. These are such important questions.
Thank you for answering it.
Thanks, Dr. V.
Bye, you guys.
Bye, Dr. V.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Okay, now this goes to show you, ready? Because I consider myself pretty, I'm a certified nutritionist. I'm not a registered dietitian, but I'm a certified nutritionist. I've been studying nutrition for 20 years, right?
Right.
And you know, I'm like, all right, I have nodules on my thyroid. And, you know, Dr. V was like, it's okay. You know, she had me biopsied. We went through all this stuff. But I have needed answers. I was like, I want to know why this is happening. And, of course, I do know the answers. It's, you know, the toxins and the crap and our food and what have you. But I was about to start self-treating. I was about to start supplementing iodine. And thank God, I was like, you know what? Because I had read enough on it and I couldn't get an answer. So I was like, this is perfect. We'll have Dr. Beyond. I'll get my free medical advice here. But that's the thing, man. There are certain things, obviously, you know, I supplement. I know enough about the supplements I'm taking. So for me, I take one little drop of vitamin D. I take 1,000 milligrams. I take a good quality multi. I take my clean fish oils. I do 400 milligrams of caffeine a day, whether it's, you know, e-boost or organic coffee. And I do an antioxidants, like real clean, you know, like grasses, you know, all that stuff, seaweed spinach and the cherries and, the, you know, the green powder. And then beyond that, there was stuff where I was like, oh, should I take an aspirin a day? Oh, should I take red rice yeast and CoQ10? Oh, should I take iodine? And because you start looking at that stuff for specific conditions.
Yeah.
And when you start playing games like that, of like, oh, I'm going to treat this with this or I'm going to treat this with that, you can end up doing more harm than you can do good. And this is really where, when I think you get beyond the obvious, you cannot self-diagnose and you cannot self-treat. Do your homework, by all means. Do your homework and then go in and have your questions prepared for a doctor that you trust.
Absolutely. When you start, I always remember my doctor when I took my mom to her doctor, and he goes, and I was diagnosing my mother. You stop reading the internet.
It's so true.
He gave me such a rash of, you know what?
Heidi does that. Did I ever tell you about the time she diagnosed me with yellow fever? Did I tell you about that?
No.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. We're in Peru. We're at a very high altitude. And we were going home the next day, and I was like, you know, I'm fine. I don't need this altitude medication. Well, dude, I mean, I break into a fever. I'm delirious. I literally was delirious. I mean, I was having hallucinations. I didn't know where I was. I was sweating bullets. I could barely move.
And you sure you didn't have any peyote or something?
No. Oh, if only. God, ayahuasca. I wish. No. And Heidi's on the internet diagnosing me with yellow fever. So I'm at the airport now because we've come down from, I hate to say this, but Lake Titicaca. I'm sick as a dog. I swear to God.
Of course, that's where you're coming from. Lake Titicaca,
yeah. 15,000 feet elevation. I got to take a boat ride, a car ride, a plane ride to Lima, and now I got to get from Lima to home with a layover, and I am laying on the floor of the lounge on my deathbed talking to God. And this bitch is on the internet diagnosing me with yellow fever, telling me I might not live. I've never forgiven her. I'm like, you don't get to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Get off of the friggin' internet.
Yeah. No.
Oh, it's horrible, Janice. I thought I was dying. I was like, call my mother.
Yeah.
Tell her I love her.
Too much information is not always a good thing.
What a friggin' animal.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God. Oh, all right. Well, we should go.
Yeah, we should go. Bye. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.